On this Palm Sunday, our scripture text and reading is taken from the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 22, please follow as I begin at verse 41 and read through the 45th verse. Matthew 22, beginning at verse 41. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David, in the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. This is the word of the living God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. Beloved in the Lord, have you ever had the opportunity to meet perhaps a total stranger, and in conversation with this person, they find out that you are a Christian, and then all of a sudden that conversation takes a different track, and they start asking you questions? That's happened on occasions to many people. Usually they ask questions that you may not have an answer for. Sometimes they ask questions about what the current popular thing is on television or in the newspaper. Some years ago, when the book The Da Vinci Code came out, it was talked about everywhere, not only on the talk shows and television, but in conversations with people. Sometimes people will ask you other questions about some obscure thing in the Bible. But people will often ask questions. The Pharisees were asking Jesus questions in the context of the text that we have read this morning. Their purpose, however, in asking Jesus some rather sticky questions was this: they were trying to trip him up and to trap him in his own words. They wanted to get something on him, as it were, so that they could get rid of Jesus. And in this last conversation that Jesus has with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the lawyers and the rulers of the people, it was Jesus' turn to ask the questions. And I kind of like to think that it's almost like that old television program on back in the 70s and maybe the early 80s. Do you remember the program Columbo that had Peter Falk on it, and he played the police lieutenant, and he always had that peculiar way of finding out who the guilty party was, and then he peppered that person with questions. And he would walk away, and just when you think that the guy was off the hook, he would turn around and he would kind of point his finger and say, "One last question." And the guilty guy would always kind of roll his eyes and go, "Oh, brother, one more. Or make this your last question." When Jesus said this to the Pharisees, I kind of get that picture in my mind. He's giving them one last question, but this last question that Jesus fires at the Pharisees puts them squarely on the hook. And they couldn't wiggle off, and they couldn't get free. The question was two-pronged. First of all, he says, whose son is he, in terms of the quotation from Psalm 110? That was the easy part of the question. But the follow-up question, just one more question, he says, how is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord? This was the question that the other gospel writers will tell you that the Pharisees did not dare to answer. Now they knew the answer to the first question, and they gave it. He is David's son. But the Bible taught in Psalm 110 that this person referred to in the 110th Psalm was more than David, more than a mere physical descendant, but one who would reign on the throne of David forever. It was, in fact, a prophecy of the Messiah. And Jesus asked this particular question about him, about the Messiah in Psalm 110, to get to the heart of the matter and the root of the conflict with the Pharisees. And the root of the conflict was this: they did not take his messianic claim seriously. They constantly not only doubted his authority, they challenged his authority. And they had already cast doubts on his identity, calling him some unsavory names. And so now when Jesus comes with one last question, they play it safe. They say, well, the person referred to there is Messiah's son. And as Jesus goes on to say, don't you know what it says in that passage? Don't you realize this? What he was doing was exposing the problem in the heart of the Pharisees. They really didn't believe the scripture. He turns an easy question into a profound and a searching question, because the only way that Psalm 110, particularly verse 1, could be interpreted was this: David was calling his natural descendant, Jesus, Lord, meaning God. Jesus explains this passage. He explains the prophecy of Psalm 110, telling us that it refers to the Messiah sitting at God's right hand. It is a prediction of the defeat of all of God's enemies by the hand of this person who is called Lord. It predicts the complete triumph of the Christ. And then it speaks of the fact that he would be seated on a throne next to the Father, the righteous governor of the entire universe, who is a governor, yet one filled with mercy and grace. It speaks of God the Son, who would be called the mediator of God's people and accomplish redemption. It predicts that he would be born, that he would live and suffer and die, be crucified and rise again from the dead, be exalted in the ascension to the very right hand of God the Father. This passage of God's word that Jesus refers to contains enough seed thoughts for all of those doctrines and more: the incarnation, the suffering, the resurrection, the ascension. This is the passage that Jesus sets in front of the Pharisees and asks them about it, and they make no reply. They couldn't argue with Jesus about Psalm 110, and they did not want to reconcile that interpretation with their messianic expectations. The Messiah that they wanted was not the Jesus who was standing before them. The Messiah that they wanted was the Messiah who would come with a mighty army and crush the Roman oppressor and set them free, not the Jesus who stood before them preaching and teaching the matters pertaining to the kingdom of God. Simply put, Jesus was not the Savior they expected. And the proof in this passage that is given in this passage, the proof is that they did not know him. They did not receive him as Lord. Later in the week, they would instigate the kind of treachery that would lead to his arrest, to his trial, and his crucifixion. Yes, the crowds on this Palm Sunday would sing Hosanna to the Son of David, but they did not know the Son of David. He remained to them an unknown person. He was, in fact, as Scripture tells us, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. Yet the teaching of the Bible is that the rejected one is the one that God exalts to the highest place, to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the only Savior of sinners. When you go to the pages of the New Testament, to the very sermon on the day of Pentecost itself, the listeners that Peter preaches to are invited to repent and commit to this Christ who is exalted at God's right hand. In the first sermon, they are invited to learn to know Jesus as Lord and King. And at Pentecost, some 3,000 were added to the church because of the reign of Christ through his word, and by the power of his spirit, he triumphed over unbelief and sin. But the Pharisees wanted nothing to do with this Jesus. And they did not draw the right conclusion to the question that was put to them. When Jesus said to them, after they said he is the son of David, how is it then that David in the spirit calls him Lord? In unbelief, they refused to accept the teaching of the word of God that that was a prophecy of the Messiah. They were in fact refusing the lordship of Jesus Christ. They were not convinced that the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, meant that that was Jesus. They were not convinced that this was the Lord who is standing before them, God in the flesh. And yet every week, don't we as Christians confess that very truth? We confess it in the words of the Apostles' Creed, where we say, he was not only born of the Virgin Mary, he suffered under Pontius Pilate. It goes on to say that we confess that he ascended into heaven and he is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. When we say the right hand of God, it is a reflection of the fact that we believe that there is the place of highest authority. He rules over all things with royal dignity. This is the Lord of glory. Jesus is God. And that is the very truth which the Pharisees refused to believe. But that's the foundational truth of Christianity. David referred to his son as my Lord. David's psalm is about the God-man who had come to redeem his people, and Jesus came. Born in the flesh, he became the Messiah, and he is Lord. And because he is Lord, you can follow him and find forgiveness of sin in him. And through the ages, that simple message that he is Lord has brought millions to him through the message of the proclamation of the cross of Jesus Christ. And as the hymn writer says, millions have come, yet there's still room for you. There's room at the cross for you. That's the message we continue to proclaim. Because unlike the Pharisees, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. And so each of us, as we hear this passage, as we hear the question Jesus puts to the Pharisees, we must be asked, and we must answer for ourselves, what do you think of the Christ? The Christ who David said is the Lord. Some choose not to think of him at all. We live in a day when there are still many who do not believe. They have banished the thought of God from their minds as though he does not exist. He is the object of ridicule and rejection. If you want to see that, you just turn on the television, and true Christians and what they believe and what they stand for are mocked and ridiculed on television program after television program. The truth of God's word is rejected in the marketplace. The truth of God's word is rejected in the political arena. The truth of God's word is rejected everywhere. Many have banished from their minds the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Some hardly think of him at all, or some think of him on Christmas and Easter. That's a very popular thing as well. But to them that believe, to them that confess Jesus is my Lord and my God, much as Thomas did in the New Testament, To them he is precious because they know him and love him as Savior and Lord and realize he rules at God's right hand. He is what David said of him. He is Lord. And we need to remember and to believe in this Jesus as he is revealed on the pages of Scripture. For if we are not correct in what we believe and in our view of Jesus, our future state will not be what we think it will be. This is a question that we must settle for both time and eternity. What do you think of Christ? And for those who believe in him, he is the beloved Savior. He is the refuge from sin. He is Emmanuel, God with us. But above all, as David tells us, he is Lord. He rules and he reigns. The one whom to love and to serve is life everlasting. Jesus is Lord. This is the message of our gospel. This is the only hope for sinners. This is the heart's cry of the believer. Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen.